Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We have the light. We have the light of the world, Jesus. And because we have the light of the world in us, we are the light of the world. We're lit up. And so we want to come out of hiding. Too many Christians have gone into the closet. And I'm not talking about the prayer closet. I'm talking the run and hide your witness closet. We need to come out of that closet, man. Let the light shine. We got the goods. We need to be excited about it. Excited about what Jesus has done in our life. We are excited. But I'm saying we need to share that excitement. We can't get this idea that, well, you know, I'm afraid to share my excitement because they're going to think I'm weird. Well, you are. That's the beauty of it. You are weird. What do you mean? Weird to this world. You're weird to this world. Say, I'm weird to this world. That's right. You're supposed to be weird. If you weren't weird to the world, then you'd probably be like the world. And you're not supposed to be like the world. You're supposed to be weird to the world. But your weirdness, I'm telling you, is more of an attractiveness to the world than you realize. You don't realize, you know, because, you know, according to the flesh, it might sound weird to the mind, but people are more than just minds. They're spirits. People are spirits. And so you got to be confident that when you let your light shine, when you let what's weird to the mind and maybe to the eye, when you release that before the world, their mind says it's weird, but their heart says, what is this? There's something to this because it's real. It's real. There's real light there. There's real light there. And when we let our witness loose, people see something with their spirit. Their mind says, that's really strange, but their spirit says, I like it. I like it. I need that. That's what I'm looking for. That's what's missing. That's what they have is what I got to have. That's what their hearts are saying. And they might answer you from the mind. You know, I remember one guy, you know, I had been a witness before. I was newly saved, been a witness before him for about a year. And boy, he'd just fighting it, being contentious, you know. But then the night came where he got saved. I led him to the Lord. He gave his life to Jesus. And he said these words. He said, I've been wanting what you have had all along. He said, I've been wanting what you've had. You wouldn't know it looking at him. You wouldn't know it listening to him. But he said, I've been wanting what you've had all along. See, that was his heart. It just took him some time to cause his heart to break through. Break through the flesh. Break through all the religious negative thinking and lay hold of it. Lay hold of that light. So you got to have confidence that even though people on the outside look like they're rejecting you, on the inside, spiritually, things are happening. Things are happening. And we have to understand that you and I are in a spiritual world. We are not just in a natural, mental, intellectual world, emotional world. We are in a spiritual world. People have spirits. And when people die, they just shed these bodies and they go on into eternity, and they continue to go on throughout all eternity. Some will make their home in heaven and some will make their bed in hell. But they're going to continue on forever and ever and ever because people are spirits. And so we need to be spiritually minded. We need to be aware of that. We need to recognize that we're spirits. Other people are spirits, and when we're communicating with people, there's more going on than just the natural, than just the physical. And, you know, this is a reminder. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5:19. It says, We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now today, if the media heard you say that, they'd say, you're polarizing. What a polarizing thing. Look what he said. He said, we know. We know that we are of God. Well, do you know that? Well, I'm not really sure. Well, you need to know that. We need to, before you leave here today, you can know that. You can get things adjusted and right in your life so that you know that you are of God. Well, isn't everybody of God? No. No, not everybody's of God. But we know we are through our faith in the Lord Jesus. We know. We know, and you know, that's one thing about us. As Christians, as believers, we walk in what we know. We walk in what we know. We don't walk around just hoping so. We don't walk around wondering if it's so. We know. There's certain things that we know, that we live by. So much of the world, they think they know, but when it comes down to it, they get into a test or a trial that challenges what they think they know. Then they start questioning what they know. But we know, no matter what kind of storms of life come, there's certain things that we know. And that causes us to be able to go right through that storm. We know that we're of God. And we know that we are God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So who's the wicked one? Well, that's the devil. And he is the one that is influencing people. In fact, over here in Ephesians chapter 2, we need to understand this. You know, you're looking out there into the world through the news channels. You need to know that the world out there is under the sway of the wicked one. We're not of that. We're of God. See, there's a difference. There's a difference between being of God and being of the world. We're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're of another world. We're of another kingdom. And it's the Lord's kingdom. Notice this here in Ephesians chapter 2. Well, let's read verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You once walked according to the course of this world. See this, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. There's a course that the world is on. So he says, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That word works there in the Greek can actually be translated energizes. So this prince of the power of the air, this spirit who works in the sons of disobedience is who's energizing them. Again, this is the God of this world. These are evil spirits that are manipulating those that are walking in darkness, those that don't know the truth, and they're moving and swaying to him. But you and I have changed dancing partners. Right? Now we sway with Jesus. It's amazing how in the world, you know, before I knew the Lord, you know, you'd sway to things that now you look at and go, oh, Lord, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. You know, you just look at it and think, I'd never do that in a million years. And yet you used to do it. You know, you thought it was cool. It's amazing how many things the world thinks is cool, that is bizarre, weird, crazy to the spiritually minded. That's just what happens. As you get more spiritually minded, you look at stuff, the more you'll see the world is weird, crazy. The stuff they celebrate, the stuff, how they celebrate. What they get excited about, what they esteem, you just look at it, it becomes more and more foreign to you because you're not of this world and you're getting your mind changed and you're realizing, I'm not of this place. This place is crazy. Now, a lot of you shouldn't be looking at me like that. But a lot of you looking at me like you don't realize how crazy the world is. It's like, well, I know it's a little strange sometimes. You fit in too much. That's okay. We're learning. We're growing. Right? We're all a work in progress. But that's what's going to happen. I'm just letting you know ahead of time that as you get your mind renewed to the Word of God and you become transformed in your thinking and in your believing, you're going to find that this, you're going to see how crazy this world is and how right God is. He is the right way to go. And becoming more and more convinced of that will cause us to be less and less ashamed of that before others. Some say, I'm not flowing, swaying according to the course of this world. No, we're not. We're going to flow with God. Notice in John chapter 17, of course, our master, the Lord Jesus, gave us the example to follow. He is a pattern for us to follow after. We're to pattern our life after him. And in John 17, now Jesus is coming out to the end of his earthly ministry, and he prays a prayer. And among other things, he begins to pray here for his disciples. And he says in verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. That's interesting. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, or the son, my margin says, of destruction. And of course, referring to Judas there, who had betrayed Jesus. Judas was a part of the world. And Judas is very much alive today. He's still very much aware of what's going on. He's not someone that doesn't exist anymore. We just don't see him anymore. He's not here on the earth any longer. But he is in a place called hell. And that isn't just presumption. The Bible says that Jesus said concerning the one that would betray him, it would be better for that man if he had never been born. Well, it's true, right? I mean, if you're going to be born to spend eternity in torment in hell, it'd be better you weren't born. And that's what Jesus said about Judas. And that, I mean, that's a reality that's going on right now. Every once in a while, we have to pinch ourselves and remind ourselves of this reality that right now there are people that are in a prison that they have no hope of ever getting out of. They are in there for eternity. And so Jesus recognizes this, and he understands also he's leaving. He's going to be exiting this place. He's not depressed about that. He gets a little bit anxious about going to the cross, but he's excited about heaven's real here. Jesus, to Jesus, heaven is as real, if not more real to him than the earth. He understands, I'm going to be relocating. I'm coming to you, Father. I'm coming to you. So death isn't a bad thing for a Christian, is it? Lots to be excited about. Man, we got great days ahead. Whoo, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Regardless of what your income is, you're already guaranteed a mansion. Regardless of what your job description is in heaven, you've already got instant prosperity, wealth, blessing. I mean, overwhelming. Just pure life. That's where we're going. This thing's wrapping up pretty quick. How many people are recognizing that, you know, time flies as we're having fun down here. But it's flying. Before long, we're going to be out of these bodies, and we're going to be over there where it really matters. We're going to be with him. We're going to see him face to face. He goes on here in verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Notice how many times He makes a distinction between the world and us and himself. There's a difference. Why? Because we know that we are not of the world. We are of God. That's who we are. We need to know that all the time. We need to remember that all the time. You're going through this world. You're going through the grocery store. You're going through the mall. You're going through life, whatever you're watching, the news, whatever it might be. And you got to remind yourself constantly, now, I'm not of this world. This place is crazy. And I'm not of this place. I'm of another world. I'm an alien in this world. I'm a foreigner in this place. That's who I am. Jesus said that so much. Here, it fills his prayer. He has such an awareness. And I believe that's what enabled him to be able to face the sufferings that he was about to face in this world. He made himself very aware that this is not his home. This isn't what it's all about. This is a vapor. I'm passing through this. I'm going to go through this time of torment, but I'm going to come out on the other side of this, and I'm going to stand with my Father again in heaven. Man, that he could see in this prayer right here, he's encouraging himself as well, reminding himself how we are not of this world. I think it's a great way we can encourage one another. Every once in a while, just look at each other and say, sister, you're not of this world. You're not of this world. Oh, pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. All right, yeah, but you know, you're not of this world. It's all temporary. I know it's crazy. It's crazy out there. But thank God you're not of it. You're just passing right on through it. Amen. Don't get caught up in it and become one with it. It's easy to do that in our society today. There's so many things that blink and buzz and flash in our face to try to keep our attention and keep us connected. You got to be connected. How's your connection? Everybody's got their connection to the world. Got to stay connected to the world. No, we got to stay connected to heaven. Are you with me? You got to watch. Sometimes you just got to let the thing buzz and let the thing beep, or sometimes you got to turn the volume off. But you do have to remind yourself often, I am not of this world. We're just going to do our duty down here, do what we're supposed to do, get this job done, praise God, enjoy ourselves on the way. But bless God, we're reaching for heaven. We're not of this place. Say it again, I'm not of this place. Turn to somebody and tell them, look them firmly and say, you are not of this world. Don't make me come over there. Remind you that. Praise God. So he keeps saying it. Verse 14, I've given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. That's interesting how he brings the word in there. The word and the world. Huh. All that's missing in word is an L. A word in the world. That's the difference between us. We are of the word, not of the world. In other words, our culture, our belief system, our way of thinking, our attitude, all these things are of the word, not of the world. The world has their own culture, but we've got our culture right here. The culture of heaven, God's culture. God's way of thinking and doing things. Verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Well, there goes the rapture. Man, do you believe in the pre-trib rapture or the post-trib rapture or the mid-trib rapture? Well, praise God, Jesus said, keep them here. The darker it gets, praise God, the more I need them here. Read the book. It's in the bookstore. I've read The Truth Concerning the Great Tribulation. Verse 16. They are not of the world. There it is again. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. They're just like me. So Jesus is letting us know right there, if he can do it, we can do it. If Jesus can do it, I can do it. Why don't you say that? Say it again. Hallelujah. If Jesus can do it, I can do it. He wasn't of the world, and I'm not of the world. So he says, verses 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified by the truth. So you're just on a mission from God. You've been sent into this world on a mission from God. You're not of it. This isn't your home. Your home is in heaven. But you are to occupy this place until Jesus returns, or until you return to him. We are on a mission from God. We have an assignment from God. You and I have been made rulers in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is here right now. Right now. Jesus went about many times preaching the kingdom of God. In fact, come back here to Mark chapter 1. Jesus starting out his ministry. Notice the message that he preached. And this was the primary message that Jesus preached. Mark, the first chapter, and in verse 14, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. So what did he preach? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, when you're talking about a kingdom, you're talking about rule and authority and dominion. And we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about God's rule, God's authority, God's dominion. And this is what Jesus came to restore to mankind. He came to mankind to give man his authority back. His authority back over his life. His authority over darkness. His authority over devils. His authority over sin. His ability to be able to reign and rule in life. That's what Jesus came to give us. That was his message. He says, I've come from another world. And I've got authority because I'm not under the authority of the spirits of this world. Because we understand that the devil has rule over the earth through darkness. Right now the devil is ruling over the world. That's why we're not of it. We've come out from under that authority through faith in Jesus. We're no longer under the devil's dominion, but we have dominion over devils. We are to rule and reign in life. We're not to be ruled by the world. We're not to be ruled by demons or evil spirits. We're to do the ruling. You and I are not of this world, which means the world can't touch this. The spirits of this world have no rights to us. And we have to understand it. Say, now, devil, you can't touch this. I don't belong to you. I've been saved through Jesus Christ. I've been taken out of your kingdom. I'm not a part of this world system any longer. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. My righteousness is of God. And so therefore, you can't touch me. The evil of this world can't touch me. Only good can touch me. Only good has legal right in my life. I'm talking about the good of God, that pure and perfect good. We don't have to settle for sickness. We don't have to settle for lack and confusion and darkness or anything that the Bible labels a curse, or that you would label a curse. You don't have to settle for that because you're not a part of that any longer. Jesus understood that. He understood, I'm not of this world. Now, this world's a mess. This world is a pigsty. This world is in confusion. This world is oppressed and people are hurting. But as Jesus walked through it, he understood he wasn't a part of that. He wasn't a part of it. And the devils understood what Jesus understood. The devils understood. When Jesus walked on the scene, devils freaked out. When the devils looked and saw Jesus, I mean, they couldn't hold it in half the time. If they were in somebody, the person would just start screaming. Ah! What have we to do with you, Jesus? Have you come to torment us? Don't you love that? Something about that gets me. Because here's the devil. He's been tormenting us for so long. And now, here we are, separated from him. Huh? He's got nothing on us any longer. He can't touch this. He can't touch this. None of his works, nothing that's of this world can touch us. We can walk right through the middle of it, knowing that we're set apart from it, and that our authority is God's authority. And Jesus came, and he whipped the devil and defeated him. So, therefore, the devil is defeated before you and I. He can't rule our life anymore unless we let him. We got to take our place, church. We got to take our seat in the heavenly places that God has given us. We got to rise up and know that we're not of this world. We're of another world. We are of the kingdom of God. We've got God's rule, God's authority. We reign in life, and we're not going to be ruled by devils. We're not going to be ruled by anything evil. We're set apart, separate. Can you say amen? Notice here in Matthew 12, Jesus says that concerning the kingdom. Look at verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So it's very important. The devil understands he needs to stay united. His group and his camp, they need to unite. The world needs to unite. That's why there's always this push for the world uniting together. Because Satan wants his kingdom to stand. He doesn't want it to be divided. He says in verse 26, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now watch this, verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. How do you know the kingdom of God's come? Well, you're casting devils out. You're driving the devil out. You're ruling over evil spirits. You're ruling over demons. They aren't ruling over you. And how do you know the kingdom of God has come? That's the kingdom you and I are a part of through faith in Jesus. Because of our faith in him, now we can cast devils out. You can cast them out of your house. You need to be able to recognize when the devil's around. A lot of folks still think they're dealing with flesh and blood. They still think it's just natural things going on. You got to be sensitive to the spirit. You got to be aware of spiritual things. You got to be able to recognize, well, that's the devil. I mean, even Peter is having a conversation. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and Peter speaks up and says some things that sounded very compassionate, very caring about Jesus. Jesus is talking about how he's going to go to the cross, how he's going to suffer. And Peter stands up and says, Lord, this will never happen to you. No, far be it, Lord. This will never happen to you. And it sounded so loving. It sounded like he was protective of Jesus, right? But what did Jesus do? Jesus turned around, away from Peter, looked over his disciples, and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, I like that. He looked away from Peter because he realized he wasn't dealing with that man. He didn't look at Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. He turned away from him. Because you realize that ain't Peter talking. That's the devil trying to talk me out of the purpose of God for my life. Using human compassion. Using what seems good, nice, but it was evil. Lord, far be it. That'll never happen. Oh, you little sweetie. Oh. See, we got to watch. Sometimes we run in there and we try to make things better. And we run in there with self-pity and self-love and self-help. And we run in there with human encouragement. And all we end up doing is making the mess that much worse. Sometimes you got to go in there and say, get behind me, Satan. Sometimes you have to go in there and deal with the self-deception and the lies. I know from personal experience. You know, there's times I went to God in prayer complaining. I said, God, I complained about stuff. And he began to deal with me. I'm complaining about others, and he's dealing with me. About my lack of faith, my lack of love, so forth and so on. He had to get me to see things differently, change my attitude. But a lot of times people just go at things very naturally, reacting from the emotions. And a lot of times, sometimes it brings a little temporary relief. Peter, you know, Jesus could have looked at him and said, oh, thanks, Peter. I know. It's going to be hard, Peter. Oh, Lord, it'll never happen to you. No, this should never happen to you, Lord. No, you'll never. You really think so, Peter? I'm kind of stressed about it. Oh, Jesus. No. You stay with us, Jesus. We'll protect you from those bullies. We'll protect you. We'll guard you, Jesus. You're important. You're what matters, Jesus. No, far be it this to happen to you. But Jesus understood, no, it wasn't about him, it was about the Father. He was here on a mission from God. He had an assignment to complete, and he was going to complete it. And Satan was trying to get in the way with that, and he was trying to use being nice and good, human compassion. But Jesus was so sharp. I mean, you think about it. Somebody turns to you and says, oh, no, that'll never happen to you. That'll never happen to you. You know, a lot of times you wouldn't necessarily think that that's a devil, would you? Unless you were led by the Spirit of God. Unless you were spiritually minded. Unless you had this attitude of, I'm not of this world. So then you can always recognize what's not of the kingdom of God. Recognizing the devil when he tries to step foot in our house. Catch him at the gate. Catch him at the gate. Some folks will start feeling something in their throat. They'll go, don't do anything about it. And then they go to bed that night, and then they wake up and their throat's on fire. Oh. And then they go through half their day, and then finally now their throat's on fire, and they got a fever, and they feel sick, and then they go home, and they get in bed and say, Lord, I take authority over this in the name of Jesus. I thank you that I'm healed. Well, why didn't you do that when you felt the tickle? It'd been a whole lot easier to deal with the thing at the gate than allow the thing to get in bed with you. We allow these things to get roots down into our life. I think this is the devil. You got to recognize right away. I'll be driving in my car, so I'll feel a little something right there. Get out of there. Jesus' name. Stop it right at the gate. Be quick. Somebody say quick. Notice this in Romans chapter 5. In verse 17... For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, because that's talking about Adam, through his offense, through his sin, death reigned in the earth, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you received the grace of God? Have you received the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ? Well, notice what he says about you. You will reign in life through him. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through the one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So look what Adam brought into the world. He brought all this death, all this darkness. He brought in Satan's dominion into this world. But then Jesus came. And through what he did, he brings the gift of righteousness and an abundance of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. How many people know God's grace is greater than every sin? God's grace is far superior and greater than any demonic thing the devil has done in your life or through your life. God's grace is greater, far superior. And that's what we have through Jesus. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that grace might reign. And in verse 17, going back there, he says that those who receive the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So it's God's grace that's reigning. It's us that's reigning. God's grace is what causes us to reign in life right now. So somebody say, I'm a ruler in this world. I'm not of this world, but I'm in this world. Now, we're here to occupy this place and spread the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is to spread. And right now, you and I have a place of authority in Jesus where we're to rule in life. We need to take that place, not just for ourselves, but for our land, for this city, for the sake of the world. For the sake of the world, you and I have to rise up and take our place. There's a lot of unoccupied seats of authority in the spirit realm. Well, I shouldn't say they're unoccupied. Actually, they're occupied by demons until one of the saints gets a hold of what is their right and privilege in Christ Jesus and rises up and takes that seat back. The devil is going to take those seats that we don't. But you and I have authority in this world. And it's time to kick the devil out of those seats. I said it's time to kick him out of those seats. Hallelujah. The devil's not going to stay in that seat. We're going to get those seats occupied. What seats? Those seats of authority that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what you and I are to do. Spread the kingdom of God. Increase the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Cause more people to walk in the authority of God. To know their authority. Know the authority that they have through Jesus. And rise up and begin to resist the devil. Resist the evil. And drive him back. Make it very difficult for the devil to get things done in this world. We can make it so hard on the devil. I'm all into making things hard for the devil. How about you? Let's make it hard on the devil. Let him come home every night just depressed, saying, I had a hard day. It was tough. I'm not getting anywhere. These Christians are taking over. They're taking over. They're speaking the word like they've never spoken the word before. They're standing in the truth. They're resisting me. They're recognizing that they have authority over me, and they're ruling. They're ruling over me. And it's changing the world. Can we do it? Yes. Thank God we can. Thank God we can. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.